This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
The parables of Jesus serve a very particular way of inviting the listener to change their way of thinking. They always start out as some sort of a morality story that if you followed it to its natural conclusion, it would be a wisdom thing that everyone would understand. But parables, by definition, always end up with a twist at the end that creates some sort of cognitive dissonance. That means the hearer cannot hold on to two things simultaneously. They thought this was true, but Jesus then proposes that maybe that's not true, maybe this is true. And it forces the hearer into a choice. And there is no parable that creates more of a cognitive dissonance in the modern church than this one in particular, the one that we just heard. In case you were dozing when I read it, it goes like this. There was a rich man who had a manager, found out his manager was squandering his property, and he called him and said, "You can't be my manager anymore. Give me the accounts." The guy says he's too old to work and he's too proud to beg, so he makes a deal. He cuts a deal with the rich man's debtors, cuts their deals in half. So he reduces their debt to the rich man and creates an obligation to him so that when he is fired, he will be welcome into their homes. Now, one would think that the morality story would say, then the rich man heard about this and was incensed, fired the manager, had him thrown in jail, and restored all the debts to their rightful balance and expected full payment, right? That's how you'd expect the story to go. But instead it says that the rich man was impressed. He was impressed with this guy's dealing. He's like, well, look at that. That was very clever. Shrewd is what the text says. He was impressed with his shrewdness. And he says, and the master commended the dishonest manager because he'd acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And Jesus says, and I'll tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into their eternal home. That feels like the end of the story. What? Is Jesus actually commending dishonest behavior? Deal making? That can't be what's happening, right? But maybe, maybe not. So to wrestle with this, maybe the thing to do is to first, let's take this parable and put it right back in the gospel according to Luke where it came from. Because what we've done, the lectionary always does this, pulls it out of context. We get this standalone story. But let's remember where it lives. It lives right after verse 15. There are three parables in verse 15. And they are all parables about a searching father. Right? Remember the parables from last week? First one was the woman who lost a coin. She searched her house diligently for it until she found it. And it was restored and she had a party. The second, a shepherd lost a sheep, left the 99 behind, and went hunting the one. And Hope preached a hilarious and helpful sermon about that last week. Right? What's missing, the lectionary, for some reason, at this juncture, leaves out the third story in the 15th chapter, which is the triptych. The third story is the parable of the prodigal son, which I think you all probably know well. The son comes to his father, demands his part of the inheritance. The father gives it to him. The son runs away, and he squanders it in loose living. One of my favorite sentences in the Bible. Squandered in loose living, whatever that is. And then he comes to himself and repents. He's ready to go apologize to his father. But his father will have none of it. The woman sweeps her house. The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes searching in the night for the lost sheep. The father longs for his son to return. Never mind his son has embarrassed him. Never mind the son has cost him an enormous amount of money and a whole lot of heartache and sleepless nights. What he really wants is for him to come home. have this picture of the Father every evening going out, looking down the road. Is he coming home now? When will he come to himself? So a whole chapter before this is the stories about the nature of God. That God is constantly searching for you and me. God is constantly sweeping the house trying to find us. God is constantly leaving the 99 behind to come get us out of trouble once again. God is desperately longing for us to come to ourselves and to come home. And then, immediately following that, Jesus tells this story. So did Jesus just change his mind? I think maybe not. I think maybe what we have is Jesus moving to the via negativa. He's going to tell us the same truth in a negative form. So he tells this story. And so now, if you listen to the whole story, I won't make you hear it again, but just remember the whole story again, and now listen to his, if it's the via negativa, listen to his voice, and maybe a tone in his voice at the end that says, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth. So that when it's gone, they can welcome you into their eternal homes. Cut your deals and see how it works out for you." And the reason I think this might be what Jesus is doing is because what he says next. Right, so if you just pick up, and this was in the lesson for today. Whoever is faithful in a little is faithful in much. Whoever is dishonest in a little is dishonest in much. He just juxtaposes this. If you can't be faithful with a little, how can you be faithful with a lot? All the way down to not being able to serve two masters. And finally concludes with the sentence, you cannot serve God and wealth. So if we take both chapters, 15 and 16, I think we get where Jesus is going. Jesus shows us the nature of God the Father, the one who never stops loving us, who is constantly in relationship, and then juxtaposes it with the nature of the world, the deal-making world in which we live, the constant vying for, the constant cutting a deal, getting the best thing you can. What's in it for me? Over and over and over, exhaustingly, until we are left with a pile of stuff and all alone. And he juxtaposes it with an invitation instead to a relationship, to community. To a community that will celebrate with the woman who found her coin. To a group of sheep that will stay put while the shepherd goes and finds the other one. To a father who welcomes his wayward son home. So it's like, which would you prefer? Which kind of world do you want to live in? Do you want to live in the deal-making world? Where we're constantly vying for more, cutting somebody out, getting more than our share and feeling proud of that, cutting off relationship after relationship after relationship. But hey, we got our stuff. Or do you want to live in community? Do you want to live in a world where people see, where you're seen, where you're known and you're loved, and you want to be seen and known and loved, and you see and know and love? So I listened to the radio a lot this week, and I think NPR is finished with their annual pledge drive, right? Did they finish? I think they did on Friday. I think it wrapped up. So it's our turn, all right? It's time for us to start talking about the church, right? It's not stewardship time yet, but it's coming. You haven't gotten any material from us yet. Eric just was in Africa, but he's back. He's here. I think he's a little jet-lagged, but he's just back yesterday. But you'll be getting mail from us, and we're going to invite you to start thinking about your giving to the church, right? And I'd love to, for you to be have these these sort of juxtaposition in your mind as we're thinking about this. Because we can do church both ways too. We can do a services rendered version of church. And a lot of people actually talk about church that way. A lot of people say, you know, I love this church because it meets my needs, or it doesn't meet my needs, or it takes the stands about with the things that I agree with, or it plays the kind of music I like. Services rendered, you know. We do what you like, you give us money. It's like buying dinner or giving a tip. We can do it that way. But that's not what's here. That's not the church that Christ is inviting us to create. Christ is inviting us to create a church of relationship. A church that seeks, that is sought and seeks, that is constantly looking for the lost, that's always leaving the 99 behind to go find the one who's wandering, that's constantly waiting and giving people opportunities to come home. You know, Services Rendered says they create beautiful music, and they create lovely liturgy and thoughtful sermons and amazing children's programs and amazing outreach programs. So I'm going to go there. Community Church says, I'm in. These are the people I want to be with. This is the way I want to live my life. I want to live my life known, and to where I know people, where I am seen and where I see people, where I am loved and I love people. I want to live differently. I don't want to live in a world that's all based on cutting the deal. And if we do that, then we're going to create beautiful music, and we're going to create beautiful liturgy and amazing children's programs and outreach programs, because this is what communities do. And all those things are the way that we continue to sweep and we continue to leave the 99 behind and search for the one and continue to long for the sun to come home. So you choose. Which would you like? You want to cut the deal? Have at it. And see how that works out for you. Or do you want to be in community? If so, well, welcome home. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.